IVM.
Folks, welcome to Paisa Paisa. I'm your host Anubhav Gupta, B50 on Twitter. Why am I thrilled? Because my friend Deepak Shenoy, founder of Capital Mind, is here. Yes, after almost 4 years, he is back. Oh, tears of joy on Paisa Paisa. We're going to talk about his favorite topic, kya lagta hai bazaar. Of course, how the Capital Mind PMS is doing, when his mutual fund is going to launch, and of course, how to become a billionaire. Disclaimer, please don't take that seriously. Right after this short break. And welcome back, Deepak Shenoy in Bombay. I'm like, you know, total tears of joy, man. This is so good to have you. You know, we started, you have set a record on Paisa Paisa because this is your 6th episode. And I'll tell you how. We started with a phone call back in 2018 when midcaps were crashing. Okay. And I was like, you know, it was not even a year to this podcast. And I was like, we call Deepak and let's do an episode. That was first. Then I came to Shantinagar studio in 2018. And folks, that episode is there. So please go and check it out. And we did 3 episodes from that recording, which I think went on for a couple of hours. And then again, I was in Bangalore in 2019 and studio in Ashok Nagar. Folks, all of this is in the archives. And of course, if you're a Club Paisa Paisa member, you can check all of them out. Okay. And now, finally, you're here in Mumbai for the very first time. Welcome to Paisa Paisa. Thank you so much for doing this for our listeners.
Are Anupam, fantastic. I loved it. And in fact, it's been so long that you say you're B50. I am being 50 or close to it now.
I'm already on the other side of 50. So, you know.
Main average kar lo, 50.
100 years between us. Yes, how about that?
This is 100 years of collective experience.
How has Capital Mind been doing? I'm just thrilled because I've known you since the old days of Twitter. You used to have your blog and used to do a whole lot of things. We had a Google group when I was there. And folks, okay, disclaimer, I'm of course, you know, a paid subscriber of Capital Mind and I just love it. Okay, yeah, obviously a paid subscriber from day one, by the way, among your original fans. You've just grown. That's cool. Talk to us about your journey, maybe for listeners who don't know you so far.
So yeah, I think the journey itself is very complex because I was an engineer. I still am, but now I have an MBA. So
thanks to regulations.
But over the years, the passion in tech, which is perhaps was my first love in terms of, you know, engineering and learning and stuff like that. So I ran tech companies for about 8 years, 9 years. And then I moved to markets. I wanted to marry tech and markets. So it was fintech before fintech was a thing. Started a company that was doing algorithmic trading before algorithmic trading was a thing. I learned that SEBI did not have any regulations for algo trading. And then eventually they did. I worked for an algo trading firm as well. We set up co-location servers on exchanges. Of course, at that time, it was so new that you dealt with things like, the equivalent, the quantitative equivalent of somebody please restart the machine, you know, ki yaar koi data bhejo theek tarah se and all that. We did that. And then, my discovery of markets has been self-taught, right? So it's almost, I didn't have a formal education, so I had to learn everything from scratch. So everything that I did was, you make a mistake, you learn, you make another mistake, you learn, you luckily don't make the same mistake again, which is very different from what. So my understanding of macroeconomics, for instance, comes from mostly from the US. And India has now started to adopt all those frameworks. So it's much easier for me to understand. So a lot of the other stuff around markets as well, mostly school of hard knocks. So you buy something thinking X, and then you find out that X, dikhawa X, it's actually 1/4 of X. And then you learn from that. And then, so through this process, there was Twitter, there was, you know, learning of the social media curve and all that. But interestingly, my focus has been that retail investors don't have an easy way to get intelligible research and understandable mechanisms to access the market, whether they are just a simplistic approach of that somebody saying, listen, we just look at data and we make our decisions. And you can look at data and make your decisions for yourself. That's a do-it-yourself model, which is what Capital Mind Premium is. That started in 2014. Or you let us do it for you, which is the PMS, where we now have about 1,140 crores under management.
Nice.
Which is, to be honest, it's good in the sense of we never thought we'd get this far, but, you know, the pandemic helped us along the way. And so we've had a lot of lucky, you know, breaks.
That's about 150 mil.
Yes. A little short of 150 mil because the dollar went to 80. okay. If the dollar was 72, I would be 150 mil, you know, okay. That kind of thing.
So you will be that soon, I'm pretty sure, the way inflows are going.
I hope so. The good thing about the industry is I think people have started to get more aware that they have to be financially active. People are also aware now that they don't have the time. And sometimes not investing is worse than investing. Yeah. Even if it is in perhaps even a suboptimal. So sometimes people come to us and say, I've invested in this mutual fund. It's given me only 11% returns. Whereas the index is given 14%. I'm like, yaar, gidiya to hai, yaar. Main toh, nahi toh aap bank mein rakke kharch kar dete. And, you know, it's still there. So maybe, you know, that realization is starting to come that if you don't, if you let the money stay idle, it goes into a fairly suboptimal.
Yeah.
So how many products do you have now? You've got the PMS, which is an investing product. Then you've got a content product also. The content piece of the pie is your capital mind. You know, there's
the research,
research, which is, you know, you've got the website. You've got a very vibrant Slack community. And I think we should do a shout out for our Slack friends out there, yes, because absolutely. We love them. There's so many, there's so much to learn from those guys out there.
Totally. In fact, it's a learning exercise. I mean, that's the thing about communities. In the end, the person who starts a community should not be a person who is the only person giving gyan. It's mostly gyan that comes from the community members that drives the community, right? So it's more like that. But it's also a little exclusive in the sense it is not free. So therefore, it takes a certain kind of person to who actually will pay for this and therefore get the value out of it. And the extracting personal value from a community. Now, for instance, if I want to buy a TV, I don't think there is any other place that I will go to. I will just go there. I will search the archives. I will ask a question, sometimes very falteringly saying, I don't know anything about this.
I don't know OLED. The difference between OLEDs and LEDs, yes. By the way.
So OLED lena chahiye ki nahi? People are like, come on, you noob. This is OLED is the thing. But it's a good thing because you learn so many things about so many things. And, you know, sometimes I'm a sponge. I collect knowledge, which I'll probably never use for the rest of my life. But I know that there will be this one day in which I'll need that knowledge. Yeah. And then I will be proud that I have it.
And so. And then you let loose that knowledge on Twitter, which happens a few times. And people actually reply to you, say that one does not put a chart to Deepak Shenoy in a reply. Oh, that was good fun. I imagine that. Yeah.
Yes.
Folks, do look up that thread. I think, you know, I thought that was a fascinating thread because some statements were made by someone and Deepak, you know, being Deepak, very politely disagreed with that. And there was a nice exchange out there. But anyway, we could keep on doing so like 6 hours. But let me gently come back to the episode. You've also written a book, Money Wise. And I have recommended that in my book. So your book came out in 2021. My book came out now in July. And Money Wise is like, you've written that in a very Deepak Shenoy kind of way. Very readable, approachable, easy to understand. And you've given your own experience. I mean, you start with, I'm really sorry to hear that, about how your dad passed away and how that, you know, forced you to learn about money. So how was that experience of writing the book and the response that you've got there?
So I think the book itself has been a long time coming. In the sense, my initial thoughts of writing a book were probably in 2009 or 2010. But as things go, one never actually writes it. And then there was a pandemic. And in the pandemic, you were at home. And I got approached saying, you know, this is perhaps something that you should write. In fact, I got approached about something completely different from a different publisher who just asked me if I would write a book about the Harshad Mehta scam. Now, I'm like, okay, this is like so long before my time. I know enough about it, and there have been now 2 movies on it. But I was like, okay, that's not probably what, I mean, that might not suit. But I said, can I write about all the other scams that seem to have happened? The smaller ones, the ULIP scandals, and the mutual
CRBs, and plantations, and NBFCs.
CRB is still big, but there's the little ones, you know, like credit cards. Credit cards are a scam that we know. So, of course, the publisher at the time wanted the big scams, but not the small ones. But on talking to Juggernaut, the book came about as let's start writing about scams, but then eventually modified itself into people don't know the first thing about money. And this is the time they want information about this. So it took some time. I took a lot of my old articles, borrowed from them, wrote new stuff, wrote new material. It was interesting because I had the time to write. I was sitting at home, the ability to kind of get this done. But the other interesting thing was I didn't want to write it in the language of the formal written world at all. In fact, one of the things that happened when they were proofreading the article was, Deepak, this language is very non-standard. And I don't blame them. I'm sure they must be going, you know, they're like, bossy, kya? This guy writes this sort of 2-word sentences and all that stuff.
What? I know that.
So, they're like, can we change the, do you want us to change the language to like a more acceptable format? I said, yaar, even if it's unacceptable, this is what I want it to go out as. So that's why it's come out as a Deepak Shenoy book, which is good. Because you didn't say you wrote like a John Grisham. Because I probably can't. But
Maybe you might also, who knows. Okay, Deepak, before we go into the break, I want to understand what lies ahead for Capital Mind, because you've got like one PMS, which is the, you've got a small case for people who can't invest in the PMS because I believe the PMS is 50 lakhs. So walk us through the products that you have right now. Maybe some of our listeners haven't heard of it and they want to invest money there, and what lies ahead.
So yeah, firstly, let me say that none of what I'm saying is investment advice, but we have products for different. So it's a do-it-yourself product is Capital Mind Premium, which contains three things. There's the content we've written, which is some of which is premium. There is the portfolios which we have, which are reference portfolios, which is that if we were
actively managing money,
this is the portfolios we want to build with a specific mindset, saying, you know, Focus has about 15 to 20 stocks, Momentum has about 20 to 25 stocks. It's quantitatively driven. There's an algorithm behind it. There's actually an index strategy where you say, forget all of this active stuff. If you want to do just the passive, here's a three-layer index strategy. There's also a debt portfolio, which is aggressive in the sense that it tries to target interest rate cycles. So it changes very. So the portfolios are available to anyone who subscribes to Capital Mind Premium, all of them. And you have the community at Slack, which is also beneficial because it goes for way more than investing. And you've seen that yourself. But it's got everything from travel to exercise to long-term
and
stocks.
The water cooler.
And there's a water cooler. But that's the product. That's a one step for everything. But if you wanted only the portfolios, you might choose a small case where they allow you to say, okay, this is the portfolio that they have. If you want to follow it, you can click here, and then you get the ability to add or delete stocks which you don't like and build your own portfolio on top of the reference.
Sure.
So that's another way to kind of participate, but you won't get the community, you won't get the content. It's a smaller way to participate. But one thing good that the small case has done for us is that you can actually, in one single subscription, get access to all our portfolios. So instead of paying separately for each portfolio, you can just say, well, this is it. Yeah. This subscription gets me access to every single portfolio. So I can choose what I want, but I don't have to, you know, subscribe again. The good part of that is that's a do-it-yourself model. And then you have the PMS. PMS is we do it for you. So you give us a minimum of 50 lakhs. And then we can split it across multiple of our products. We have a Momentum, a debt portfolio, what is called Surge India, a new name that we have, which is about how India is changing and therefore how we can bet on it for the next 10 years. So recently that went through a name change. Our customers can take 50 and divide it into all of these portfolios. And we have about 850 odd customers who are with us, and we have 1,150 crores on it. And now this, of course, the PMS is a minimum of 50 lakhs. So it runs through a completely different cycle. The portfolios are not overlapping the others. But these are the core products. We have a bunch of smaller things. Once we did a debt masterclass, for instance, we've kept that on.
Yeah.
So this was in the throes of when there was a debt crisis in mutual funds, right? So that's still on. It's not much, but it's a small product. It's a 3-hour masterclass on how debt mutual funds work.
Sure.
So these are the core products that Capital Mind has built.
Mutual fund, please, come on. Yeah, what are you waiting for?
We have to go through the SEBI cycle of the regulatory process. And I think, we're in it right now. So there's questions coming back and forth. There will be personal physical inspections of our offices. It's a long way, because even though they may give you a provisional license on day one, you will still take till day 365 to build everything that's required for an AMC, because the AMC is heavily regulated. So you have to build all the technical pieces, the regulatory pieces, the compliance pieces, the trading pieces, the research pieces, and all of that.
Yeah.
We have bits and pieces of it. We are one of the few asset managers to get a license. So which means, or to apply for a license. We haven't gotten a license yet. But what happens in this process is that while we may have the research and the training pieces done, we still have to build a much larger compliance arm.
Sure.
This, I expect, will take till 2023 end and early 2024 before we're able. That's the earliest we might even think of something.
And we look forward to that. Folks, on that note, we're going to take a small break. On the other side, now that we've covered everything that Deepak does, kya lagta hai, right on the other side of this break. And welcome back. Okay, Deepak, plain and simple. Kya lagta hai bazaar? Your favorite question.
Do this show now. It's 4:30.
Friday, 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock at Friday, every Friday. Where we just talk about, you know, stuff that's happening. Interestingly, the bazaar itself has been weird. We're at 7 consecutive years. I think 8th consecutive years. Positive returns. We haven't had this. You know, you have to thank the Federal Reserve. But now you can't, because the Federal Reserve is reversed. And I think this is going to show up next year in terms of volatility. And every single time that the central banks have curbed, increased interest rates and curbed liquidity, you have volatile markets. So we haven't had volatile markets. I can tell you we don't have volatile markets is people are still trying to make money trading options in a very large way by selling them. That means there's not enough volatility. Every time volatility comes back, this particular genre diminishes in quantity quite substantially. There are still people who make money trading options,
course,
but
sure,
the noise of the easy money goes away.
Screenshots and everything.
Let's not go there. But it's interesting because we've had a long period, nearly 2.5 periods of relatively low volatility, and it'll change. But beyond that, I think I was on a show today and I said the same thing. I said, if you asked me in the beginning of 2022, kya lagta hai bazaar? And then you told me ki Putin will attack Ukraine. That US will see inflation. That the world will see inflation, US will raise interest rates to the point where mortgage rates in the US are as much as mortgage rates in India. And the US market will be down 23%, some of the US stocks will be down 80-85%, Tesla is down 62% for the year. I would have laughed at you. So, whatever I say from here, it's almost undeserving of attention. So, I can tell you that, India is great. But will India be great in 2023 alone? I don't know. I don't know if India's story will come in 2024 or will start in 2023 in terms of being recognized in the markets. I don't know if the companies we own in the portfolios, will they continue to perform the way they are? Though I think in the longer term, they will. So we may own some railway stocks. They've gone up quite a bit. They may correct. That's fine. Because we're not playing the 2023 game. We're playing the 2027 game right now. We'll keep changing our game for the longer term. But if we look at the simplest part of the market, which is where should you put your money? I think the answer to me for 2023 will still be equity markets for the risk capital that you have, Indian equity markets for the most part. And today, I think I will be more convinced about putting some money in American stocks because they seem to have corrected. But again, with a 5-year view, not with a 1-year view. On the debt side, I think we will finally get returns. The last 3 or 4 years, we've had lousy FD rates.
I'll come to that. I just want you to finish the equity part first because I want to, just want to get that out of the way because debt is a totally different discussion. But what's your take on the economy? Because I don't want to say that I'm tired, but the constant thing that I'm keeping on hearing India's decade, India's century, India's year, India's X, India's Y, India's Z. Everybody who's coming from US to here is like different zone altogether. Economy, what's your take?
So, this is where it's our battle to lose in the sense that we have all the things that should let us win. In the sense, we understand inflation, so we can deal with it. We have far lesser inflation than the West. First of all, they can't deal with the inflation they have, and we are less inflation than the West. So, and then even our own past, we're in much better shape. Secondly, we didn't do the excesses because we couldn't afford it. We couldn't afford to give people free money, so we didn't. And therefore, we didn't get inflation. But that also means that we don't have to unwind all the nastiness that we've done in the past. Yeah. Our government finances are, in fact, better than they were, may not pre-pandemic, but to the point where they're better than they were in the pandemic. And the government's earnings have gone up significantly. I'm talking about 20-25%, 30% in all, whether it's GST or income
direct,
tax.
Indirect,
So you've reached a point where, the government is in a position to support the economy in case it needs to. We've also, people keep saying we've lost forex reserves and all that stuff, but we haven't in any meaningful fashion, and we shouldn't have this many forex reserves in the first place. We should internationalize the rupee. We have started some mechanisms around that. We have an economy that's booming on the fact that, all of these small infrastructural elements, whether it's UPI or you've got the GST, return to innocence in a way. It takes about 4-5 years before GST in any country works out. Yeah. So we're there right now. 2017 is when it started. So you've reached a point where some of these infrastructure elements start to pay back. So the economy, I think, will do well. But the point is whether it will continue its great run in 2023. And by the way, the economy did very well in 2008. The market fell 60%.
Yeah.
So the markets don't need to respond at the same time as the economy does. So, and they're very different things. So I would say the economy will do well. It's just that if you expect that the markets to do well, just because the economy is doing well, you may be mistaken.
I'm sensing some diplomacy out here. I'm asking you, what are the 3 things that would make Deepak Shenoy 1000 bullish? And saying that, if X, Y, or ABC were to happen, then all my money is in right now.
So
tell me those 3 things.
I'm so bullish that I renamed a portfolio called Long Term Multicap to Surge India.
Isse
zyada bullish matlab. So you can't get more bullish than me right now because I am looking at this and saying we are on the cusp of an absolute. I mean, this country is insanely economically strong. In the sense, okay, today morning, 5 a.m. in the morning, I was on a beach called Malpe, which is about 4 kilometers from Udupi. That's about 60 kilometers north of Mangalore. It's in Karnataka. This is a port. It's a fishing port. So there are about 100 ships moored, and the fish on the ships is being sold. It's 5 a.m., 4:30 a.m. in the morning. The fish is sold in auctions. And that place is teeming with activity. We did a quick calculation. Each port does about 10 to 15, 20 lakhs of business. There's an ice plant business that's supplying ice. There's a trucking business that's shipping this stuff. There's auctions. There's hotels, restaurateurs, all of them that are placing bids. There are merchants that are buying fish off of the fisherwomen and fisherfolk.
Yeah.
So this entire business in that one port is 50 to 100 crores a day.
Wow.
This, by my rough estimate.
Yeah.
And this entire business finishes between 4 o'clock in the morning and maybe 7:30 or 8 in the morning.
Sure.
This is, and you know, I went to Nagpur. We were talking about a relatively smaller town. It's got infrastructure that, you know, Bangalore would die in shame just looking at, you know. Because first of all, they have roads when Bangalore does not have roads. But apart from that, they have a metro. They have a fully functional two-line metro. But, you know, at this point, these guys have multi-level roads and something else and this, you know. So it's like when you look at that, you say, how do they manage to do this in Nagpur and not anywhere else? Yeah. I mean, not in, even Bombay suffers from I think lack of attention, and you guys have been spoiled by too much infrastructure in the past. I think we had any.
You guys didn't learn from us, but yeah, okay.
We don't learn from anybody. We take pride in not learning from anyone in the world about infrastructure. But apart from that, you know, so a friend tells me about a district, Ratnagiri in Maharashtra, where he's talking about just the business around animal husbandry, which is the providing, you know, care, medical care, say, to animals. Just that, in one district with 500,000 cows, is a business worth 100 crores per year.
That is
per district. And this is crazy, because I'm looking at the numbers and saying, are you out of your mind? It's like this, well, it's roughly 10,000 rupees per cow of X, and then something else and something else. And we added this all up and like, okay, this is huge. It's 100 crores in one district. And like this, there are so many many little Indias, that the economy is, I mean, if I'm not bullish about this economy, I don't think I can be bullish about anything.
Yeah.
But I'm not bullish about the metros. I think we need a little bit of death in the metros, in the sense of the metros need to die a little to live.
Yeah.
Surat lived because of the plague.
Yeah.
Apparently, if you go and even drop a banana skin on the road, there's a shopkeeper that will come and pick it up.
Nice.
They find the shopkeepers if there's litter.
Okay.
So that is what makes me bullish about India. You know, there's something else.
I know that you don't get carried away easily, which is why I'm going to ask you this. What is the one thing that you think people are not looking at and they should, and that could just, you know, throw things off track in the next year? I don't know. Unemployment, employment, rural markets, anything else that you're looking at that you're saying, you know, maybe if this improved, it would give me more confidence. Because everything else, of course, like you said, infra, banking, X, Y, Z, ABC are all looking great. Anything on the macro or within sector that you feel, I'm going to track this a little bit more closely, this could just derail everything?
Yeah, I mean, for instance, one of the biggest sources, we don't talk about it too often, but there's a reason our current account is balanced. What happens is we end up importing a lot of crude, importing a lot of gold. We export some IT services, we get some remittances, and then there's a forex transfer, FDI and FII, so FPI. So those investments come into India, and then whatever the rest is the rupee exchange and the RBI reserve changes, which comes in. So this is how the current account kind of balances out. This, or the whole balance of payments balances out. There's a part of this that we're not looking at because, you know, for a while, the IT services thing was the biggest game in town.
Invisibles, yeah.
And then there was FCNR deposits from NRI deposits. There was a phase, and that was big. There was a phase when FPI, foreign portfolio investors, were big. There's a phase when remittances, right now, for instance, remittances are the biggest thing. There have been phases of each one. What was the phase last 2 years was FDI. Now that's collapsed. In fact, it's gone the other way because investors in the startups are actually selling those shares in the IPOs that have come apart and taking the money out. So there's negative FDI, if you may. There's portfolio investments have anyway slowed down.
Yeah.
So you've reached a point where some of these elements are going to go away. In fact, IT services as well, because of the slowdown in the West. I think people aren't looking at some point, we are going to also start getting inflationary issues if the dollar rises to 83, 85, 87 and all that. The only way to do that is to build either import substitution, import less by manufacturing more here. Yeah. The government is on the case, but it'll take 3-4 years. And the second one is to export more. But that won't happen by promoting exports alone. I think just promoting greater activity here will export India. So what I think India is missing is, people are missing really, is that the Fed's activity of curbing volatility and interest and increasing interest rates is going to last well into 2023. That's going to create a massive crunching of capital that is available for India. Some, I'm hoping, of course, in the long term, that this capital will come back in a big way. Of course, it will, because the US knows only one way to fight recessions, which is to drop interest rates and to print. So eventually, when they see the recession that they want to see, they will print again and bring it back, and that money will come back to India. But meanwhile, we'll see liquidity flows. So if you're not prepared to deal with a lot of, you know, the word jigger, it's like you need jigar because I think jigar means liver, right?
Jigar means heart.
No, jigar means...
Gurda means liver,
I
think.
Gurda, yeah. I don't know. Kidney
means iPhone, by the way. okay.
Yes, what? But, you know, so you're going to need to have a lot of bile juice just to be able to absorb all the craziness that happens in the next year. And if you don't have it, you better build it. It's the one thing that I think people are overlooking.
Interest rates, because I mean, there's some products out there that look so good and everybody is locking into FDs and all. What's your take on the whole interest rate thing? Because, you know, you've had seven, whatever, years of positive returns, which we've not seen before. And you've also got this very compelling thing on the, you know, debt mutual fund side, FD side, whatever, fixed income side. What's your take on this?
So, Abhi, I think debt mutual funds have two things to. First, give me a decent positive return. Till last year, decent was 4%. Today, decent is 6.5%, 7%, maybe 8%. And that's happening. So almost all banks have raised their FD rates. We're seeing good returns in debt mutual funds. The government bonds that used to yield 5% and 6%, now yielding 7.5%, 8%. So we're seeing interest rates increase across the board, which to a certain extent is good in the sense that it gives you decently positive debt returns. But because India's inflation is falling, and apart from the fact that the next 6 months, we're going to see raises from the Federal Reserve, which means Indian interest rates will remain high for a short time. I think in the longer time, interest rates will come down dramatically. Dramatically to the sense of we will be dealing with 4% inflation and maybe 5.5% interest rates. So we will actually see interest rates go down, even in the 10-year government bond, 2% lower from here, which is huge from a yield perspective. So I would rather play that as the debt duration play. So saying when the RBI starts to cut is when you want to get into long-term debt funds.
Right now, is not, you think?
Because I think they will continue to raise rates. RBI is very traditional in its thinking. So it's going to look at this and say, if the US is raising, we have to raise. Even though our economy needs lower rates. Yeah. We pay the highest cost of capital among almost any country of our size in the world.
And the biggest drain on our budget is... Interest payments.
Yeah, I mean, interest payments. Yeah. Interest payments is what, 7-8 lakh crores. The next highest is like defense at 3.5 lakh crores. So roughly double the next highest expense is interest payments. So we do need lower rates, not just for the government, but also for us. We pay extremely high rates. You can't get a personal loan at below 12%, let's say. And that's not just because you're risky. That's just because it's the cost of capital to the NBFCs that are funding us that they raise at 9.5%. So they need 2.5-3% too. So given that India needs, and we did an entire podcast on this, lower cost of capital, we need to lower it in India. But I have a feeling the next 6 months, nobody's going to listen to me. And therefore, it's not me, of course. I'm not saying that they should listen to me, but I think they should listen to the woes of the small Indian entrepreneur who just does not get access to capital.
Oh, they would definitely, they could definitely do with access to lower cost of capital, and that I totally agree. What are the products you like out here? Because now the debt side has completely exploded. I mean, 10 years ago, we didn't have, you know, these options like A, direct access to G-Secs, right? You can just lock in into a very nice 3-5% 10-year bond, and that's sovereign. I mean, you know, there's that. So there's some new stuff that startups are also doing. Let me not go there, but whatever, you know, there's that. There's, of course, there's FDs, there's debt mutual funds. In this spectrum of debt products, what do you like?
So my true and strong belief is we are not paying enough money for risk premium. I'm not paying enough attention to risk premium, which means if I can buy the government bond at 7.5, why would I buy a 10-year perpetual, not even a 10-year, but it's a perpetual HDFC 81 bond, which is more toxic than equity at 7.85%. It makes no sense whatsoever. the startups that you speak about are bringing in bonds from NBFCs that are so weak, not weak from a perspective, it's just that they're raw and they're new and all that stuff, that they are offering 10, 11, 12% in yields. They should be offering 14 or 15. And, you know, to a certain extent, that the way that the system works is they offer it at 12, the startups keep one or two, and you get 10 and you feel good that you're getting 10. But you're actually getting 10 for something that's extremely risky. But this risk premiums have collapsed in the last few years. I think they need to expand. The government should be the cheapest form of capital. But today also, a 10-year deposit in almost all of the large nationalized banks pay less interest than the government does on a 10-year bond, which is surprising, but not abnormal because that's how the system has been for the last 10 years. So it's time now to stick with something that is absolutely safe. In rising interest rate times, the credit growth happens first, the NPAs come later. When the NPAs come, the debt funds that have invested in the more risky products, they're the ones that are going to suffer the most. So I would say stick with safe, but because safe is giving you a great return, 7.5%, 8%. Yeah, yeah. If you're giving me risky at 15%, I'll take it. If you give me risky at 9.5%, I'll be like, why bother? So go to equity. No, it's easier to take risk in equity. At least you can sell when you want to. In debt, you can't sell when you want to.
People don't get that very easily. They think they think debt is like as good as, I mean, that's the one thing people don't get, that there's interest rates and there is, of course, a big one, duration. So
duration and credit. And
credit, of course.
You have this fund of, when you start worrying about the return of your money more than the return on your money, that's when you've gotten into deep down debt destruction territory. You will never come back. And you don't want to get yourself into that situation. So
that's a tough one. Okay, last question, and the one that, you know, is one of my favorites, one that you're very good at, is strategy. You know, for someone who's, I don't know, think of a 25, 28, 29 year old guy who's just starting his career, has got his first salary, he's looking at, you know, 30, 40, 50 years of working life. And of course, you've also been a very big proponent about how in India, probably globally, that the retirement age might be 65, but the retirement work is not going to stop. So give us a big picture scenario on how someone should manage his investments. I don't want to go into the money part because you've already written a great book on that. And people, please read that book. I have recommended it also. On the investment side, what do you think is a good strategy, you know, for this young generation that's come in, that SIPs are now what, almost 2 billion, they'll be 2 billion a month soon. They're already at 12,000 crores odd. And it's just rushing in and there's just so much of it going on. But when you see awareness, it's still, I don't see that conversation really happening a lot. What's your advice to these people?
So I think, you know, the sad part of this is, I think my advice, first advice to people is invest in themselves. Because at the young age of, say, 20, 25, you're actually, you're going to add much more value to your own long-term income if you make yourself more qualified, get more degrees or get more qualifications, spend your money learning, spend your money enjoying life. And I say this because there's always going to be time to earn money. You will not get your experience when you're 25 after you have kids, family, house, EMI, God knows what else that comes in. So spend those initial years, you know, don't skimp on that stuff just because you want to invest.
That's not going to come back. That age is not going to come back.
Not just that the age is not going to come back. Those experiences that you have when you're 25, even if you have the same thing when you're 45, you're going to look at it extremely differently. You know, I didn't have any money when I was 25. So I still enjoyed myself, but, you know, it was whatever money I had. But I think today, people have a lot more money than, you know, when I was 25. I thought it was normal to be broke. And it was at my age. When,
same age, Baba. It's a
case of same. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But now it's no longer the case, right? Now everybody's like, acha, how much can I buy a house before I'm married? I'm like, wait, your wife is going to hate your house. Or your husband is, I mean,
whoever.
Your spouse is going to hate the house. Why do you just buy together when you guys have enough? Why do you want to? But, you know, that's the thing. But interestingly, I think if I were to say, okay, you've handled this and you still have excess money left, the initial parts of investment should be three things that you have to understand. The three things that you need to invest more actively is the time to invest, the skill to invest, and the inclination to invest. That means if you don't have all three, you may have the time and the skill, but you'd like to, I have better things to do with my time, with the time that I have, than to, you know, so if I don't have the inclination, it's still not going to work. So if I don't have the time, skill, and inclination, I should just choose passive index funds. If I have some of these three, then I don't have enough of them, I might choose active mutual funds and select a bouquet of mutual funds which work for me. If I get more time, skill, inclination, then I might actually go down the route of saying I'll buy stocks myself, I might do options, I might do startup investing, and just don't do crypto. Yeah, it's just but everything else is fine. Nice. But most of the stuff that you want to risk, you should do. And don't listen to me. Because if you're that smart, why are you listening to a guy, you know?
Right. You want them to listen to those YouTube people.
Huh? No, I don't want to listen to anybody. Listen to,
you say know, that. The, no, say that, Baba. Don't listen to me. You'll send them to some other peers and you know the kind of rubbish.
You should
advice.
Listen to a Tina Turner song.
We
don't need another hero. Nice. We don't need
like
to know
the
way home.
Bad Max. Okay.
So that's the song. You wanna listen to that song because that's the
content advice, folks. Really good song, by the way.
Yeah. So in fact, that song drives home true, right? So somebody asked me, Deepak, who's your guru? I said, I don't have a guru. And they said, why don't you have? I mean, you must be looking up to somebody. I said, no, I listen to a lot of people, but I will not follow anyone blindly. There is nobody who says, if you, Deepak, cut your wrists and I will cut. I will not do it. I just don't care who says that. It's not going to happen. So the word guru sometimes is defeatist because you've given away control of your own, you know, ability to decide right and wrong to somebody else. So I think we should, you know, everybody who's more on the active side of the equation should simply say, okay, I'm going to take my own decisions. I'm responsible for the consequences of the decisions. And this is not just in investing. It's in everything in life. We can't even sometimes, I mean, we can blame our politicians all we want. But, you know, it's fun on Twitter. But at some point, if we are not getting into politics, you know, to change things, there was a... I forget the name of the singer.
One more song. Okay. He was
English only. He was doing a live show and he said, all of you young people are going to become politicians. And I hope you do. And I hope that way we get to change a few things. And I was like, nobody in India in a rock show will ever tell people who are listening that you will become politicians. Because India mein hota hi nahi. That concept itself doesn't matter. So, maybe, you know, that's our problem because we don't, we don't care enough.
Yeah. So I'm done with all this, but just, you know, let's just spend your time on stuff that you're doing, seeing, watching, whatever. You saw Kantara?
I haven't and I should and I want to see it in Kannada because apparently...
I heard people saying that it should be in Tulu actually. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I wouldn't understand as much of it in Tulu as I would because I don't understand there are formats, there are things in Tulu which you will not... But I mean, either ways, I think, you know, there is a song in there...
Varhala Rupam.
Which is...
beautiful.
But there's a one by Thaikkudam Bridge called Navarasam, which first you should listen to the song. And you should listen to the song without going to YouTube or switch off the screen. And then you should see the video.
Is that good?
It is mind-blowingly insane. It is amazing. And you don't need to understand. I don't understand a single lyric of the song.
So the group is Thaikkudam Bridge and the song is Navarasam. Navarasam, okay. So, I thought you were saying Varhala Rupam because I thought that part in Kantara was stunning.
Yeah,
like
it is.
Just
it
next
is,
level stuff.
Yes, but yeah, I like this more. I mean, but I mean, I think also this is like, there's another song, very old song. It's a war ish cry, this thing song by Aramb Hai Prachand by in another movie I think Gulal.
A Hindi movie.
Hindi movie.
Okay, sure.
So Aramb Hai Prachand, and this is Hindi words which you would have given in your Hindi exams, and these are used in songs. This is the only way to get your children to understand like what these songs mean. So the song goes Aramb Hai Prachand. I forget the lyrics, but those lyrics are like
intense
Hindi
movie.
Hindi pop songs.
The movie was also intense. It took a lot of time to release. Also, Anurag Kashyap, if I remember correctly.
Yes. We're going to songs, but
no. I mean, the next question I was going to ask you because the other movie that came out from your, you know, from your great state was of course KGF 2. So did you...
this is another movie I haven't watched because I have this problem of I haven't been able to watch movies simply because there are too many of these little episodes of past Netflix, something that I have to watch.
You've
got a long list.
What else? Books, movies, anything else that you're doing, seeing, reading, anything?
Yeah, so now the latest is AI. I mean, of course, it'll go to upend and change our industry, but...
Oh, yeah, that's a big
one. It is so fascinating because now you could go to... So I went and, you know, my son's in the 10th standard, so I randomly took some of his question papers, past question papers of 10th standard ICSE, and I put it into this chat GPT thing.
Huh.
And not only did it give the answer, it gave you all the steps required to get to the answer. And sometimes gave you 2-3 different ways to get. I'm like, excuse me, hello, what? So this is the end of homework as we know it, right? So this is also the end of content as we know it, because you could give it a story saying, can you write me about a story of how one should plan his personal finance? And you, all the stuff that I said, probably in 7 different ways.
That's from Deepak Shenoy. That's an AI is doing all that.
It's fine. After some time, you won't know the difference. It's that simple, because maybe you don't need to know the difference. Maybe advice should not be coming from Deepak Shenoy. It should be standardized. It should be a textbook. It should be something that everybody knows.
Yeah.
Why don't we have this stuff in schools? Because does it mean that you have to go to Deepak Shenoy to get... This should be very basic stuff, right? So maybe AI is the way to standardize stuff, but it will change everything. It will change investing, because we'll tomorrow be looking at AI to help us discover the next big set of companies, simply because the AI can think better than we do. And we are just going to have this layer of, dude, you can think of everything, but you haven't been schooled in the school of hard knocks.
Yeah.
So you can tell me that this is a great company, but I know that this promoter is never going to let you see the money. So I'm going to make those subjective decisions. But beyond that, all the data everything crunching else, that we do currently, this AI can do it by itself.
You're doing all that on ChatGPT. I thought just put What Is Love, and I thought it'll do me the whole Hadaway song. You know, What Is Love, baby, don't... Just give me some long... Love is... I said, bhai, mere ko nahi chahiye. Mere ko maaf karo, yaar. I'm still in the human being universe. But great fun, Deepak. Thank you so much for giving us this time. I mean, I know that you've got a very packed schedule in Bombay. You're here today, you're here tomorrow. I hope that the traffic has been kinder on you.
Anything's kinder than Bangalore. Bangalore traffic is not kind. Bangalore traffic is like this. It's a beast that tells you, the minute you step out on the streets, I am going to eat you alive. By the time you reach the end, if you survive, you're almost like, I've made it. So when people in Bangalore, Bangalore is the only place where they tell you distance in time. Nobody says, how far away is Outer Ring Road? 15 minutes. No. How far? 15 minutes. It doesn't matter whether it's 3 kilometers. You don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's 15 minutes.
I'm getting a very Lord of the Rings, that you shall not pass kind of a... You remember that scene where, you've got Gandalf sitting with his staff, standing with the staff, and you've got that monster out, then you shall not pass. But, what an episode, Deepak. Thank you so much for dropping by out here. Folks, that is a wrap on this episode of Paisa Vaisa. My guest, the one and only, Deepak Shenoy, founder of Capital Mind. Deepak, thank you so much for doing this for our listeners, and all the best for your mutual fund. I hope it comes earlier rather than later. And, I want to catch up with you in Bangalore. I need to do a couple of days out there and meet everybody else. I done it long, long ago. But thank you so much for doing this for our listeners.
Yes, thanks so much, Anubhav. It's been great. I love the fact that I was able to come over and catch up with you and this awesome studio and in the most awesome equipment as well, which is still making me team jealous here.
I don't know if Vashishta is listening to all this, but he's taking down notes out there, I guess. But folks, hope you enjoyed it. If you like this podcast, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel where you get all our video episodes. You can check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM podcast app or ivmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on our social media. We are IVM Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to me, folks, I am your host, Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter. And thank you, folks. Thank you so much for listening to Paisa Vaisa.
No material on the show should be considered as financial advice. The material on the show is for informational purposes only. Please consult a financial advisor before taking any investment decision.